This is Patriots Playbook.
Go Stack Guts Combat. Odds 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short.
Patriots Playbook.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Let's go.
Into the playbook for a Wednesday here on Patriots.com radio. My name is John Rook. PFW's Eric Scalavino is here for our opening hour. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll also be joined by Monty Poole, Bay Area News, Bay Area News Group. We're going to talk about the resurgence of the Oakland Raiders. Of course, the Patriots have this weekend. Hour number two of the program, we're going to get into the Patriots locker room and let you hear from the guys themselves as they get ready to go back across to the left coast and see if they can't get back on the winning track. Now, you know, normally, Eric, I think, in all honesty, I'd be congratulating you on your foresight from last week.
But right now, I told you so.
Right now, I'd kind of like to reach over and slap you.
well, before you do that, I just want to do something that maybe get you back in, get me back in your good graces.
Fire away.
I am making good.
Oh, he did it. Oh, my God.
On my promise to get you. Well, they call it suicidal.
Yes. Yep,
but that's the hottest one that they had.
Yes.
So,
woo!
Biggest bottle I could get of the hottest sauce from the Anchor Bar. The downside to the story is I didn't actually get to sample the food there because
we got
there at like 7 o'clock.
Really? The wait?
2 hours, they told us.
Hours?
We were like, they must be good, but they can't be that good. So we went elsewhere. But
they are good.
While Fred was talking to the
in the store and you bought it, the...
It was right there. I said, I'm here. I got to get it.
Oh, my God. You are... Oh, you're a good friend, E.
Now, here's
the
thing.
Friend.
Here's the deal.
Yeah?
One of our very astute... fans.
Yes.
I you know, I do my PFW postcard where I write my travel log from the road.
Right.
I mentioned the fact that I had to get this for you as part of my mission on Buffalo.
Right.
And one of our astute readers, Todd in Nova Scotia, you know him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm.
He came up with the suggestion that you actually drink the bottle on air today. And I said that would make for some great radio.
Oh, so, my God. You really want me to open this and drink it?
I didn't think you would actually do it.
It is suicidal.
We just started the show.
I mean, look. Wait a second, though.
You go down.
All right, wait a second. I want you to describe the bottle. No, seriously. All right, here, Eric. I want you to describe the bottle.
Yep.
What you see inside the bottle? What do you see?
I see what looks like the remnants of hot peppers.
Mm-hmm. See seeds, right?
I see seeds. I see peppers. I see that reddish, rust-colored, dark. Tomato sauce,
right.
I'm sure there's like vinegar and let's see what
read the ingredients.
Cayenne pepper sauce,
which
includes cayenne peppers, vinegar, salt, garlic, xanthan gum, whatever the hell that is, chili pepper extract, spices. It just says there's various spices, unknown vinegar. Now we're back into the regular vinegar, ground cayenne pepper, black pepper, crushed red pepper, salt, xanthan gum. So there's a double shot of the salt and the xanthan gum.
Oh yeah, right.
And the garlic.
Right.
Then there's some scientific names that should be on the periodic table.
Right.
And horseradish.
Mm-hmm. That's the mild part.
Wow.
Horseradish. Okay. But there's a double dose of the pepper. You notice that there's cayenne and there's red.
Right.
Okay.
So and there's the descriptive little thing.
Let me see the descriptive brochure here.
The brochure that
they
have.
Say, try all their award-winning sauces, yada, yada. By the way, we should give them a plug, anchorbar.com. There you go.
Yep.
Because you can go and order your own if you really want to.
Just get there when they open, apparently, because then you have to wait 2 hours even when you're there early.
Mild, medium, hotter, suicidal, and then they have spicy barbecue. This is the suicidal. So this is the hottest as it goes.
Yep.
And the suicidal says, very hot, but won't scald your gullet. This sauce
hell.
Well, it depends on who you are.
Yeah, it would scald mine.
This sauce will put hair on your chest.
Well, if it put hair on my head, I might try it. But
I got enough hair on my chest.
I don't need
any
more
there. Put a
little
on your scalp and let's rub it in and see what happens.
Got it in all the wrong places, John.
Hey, don't wave. Listen, it comes with age, brother. Got it sprouting out the ears.
Plus, I'm Italian. We really can't help that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get it.
Fortunately.
We don't need to go anymore. That's fine.
Aside from the result of the game, I felt that it was a successful trip to Buffalo. If and only if.
If you could have gotten in and had some wings, that would have helped. But yeah, that's really good, though. Appreciate that, brother. Thank you.
No problem.
That will go over real well on the wings that I grill next week. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make them a little homemade. But
I'll give you the lowdown on it too.
I unfortunately, my gut feeling last week came to pass, and I was even sensing it more so the morning of the game because it was like it just seemed like the weather was great out there. You know, and it had been so miserable back here for the last, few days before we left. And people just out there seemed like the vibe I got out there was that it's our time. It's our time finally to beat you guys. And they really wanted it. But I also noticed some things in pregame that I hadn't seen in my years covering this team. One, Tom Brady being out there before even the kickers got out there. Warming up, running with Chad Ochocinco. I saw Gerard Mayo, who never goes out early before a game, in just, you know, like the T-shirt, and sometimes they wear like the game pants, stretching, loosening up, running around. So I was getting the sense that the Patriots were equally motivated by the challenge. And as it turns out, you know, the first half, they came out guns a-blazing. They put up plenty of points, and it looked like they were well on their way. And then, you know, the wheels came off, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
But... you know, I sensed that they weren't taking the game for granted, and they certainly didn't lose because they took them for granted. They lost because they beat themselves. And there's one play in particular.
I agree with that. They lost the game. The Bills didn't win it.
Right.
I mean,
I don't take anything away from the Bills.
The Patriots don't lose the game.
Right.
They beat the Bills by two touchdowns
and
at worst.
I don't know if you covered this on Nitpick Tuesday, but there was one play. There was one play in particular that I felt changed the entire dynamic of the game. And you might be a little surprised at which one I think it is.
Go.
Score was 24-17.
Yeah.
Patriots were driving.
Yeah.
And Brady underthrows a wide open, well, not wide open, but he had a step on the defender. Gronkowski heading to the end zone as the left end zone as you're watching it on television.
Right. I remember.
And as it is in our press box too
right
up there.
But right.
He underthrows Gronkowski, who I thought as soon as he let go of the ball, I thought, oh, it's a touchdown because the safety wasn't going to make it over in time. Gronk was open. He doesn't drop anything. They hit that play. It's 31-17, and you take a lot of the wind out of the sails of the Bills. And a lot of the other things that happen, the dominoes that fall later, won't have fallen because you're down 14 points now instead of just 7. And the whole circumstances of the game change with that one play, and it was a bad throw by Brady, unfortunately. If he makes that one throw, I think the game is completely different and the Patriots win by double digits.
You know, that's interesting. And I would say that that's probably very viable. I actually thought that this team still would win the game until Ocho dropped his pass, and then I said they're not winning this game.
Well, I see your point because if he scores there, they still have more time at the end of the game
correct
to try to come back.
Correct.
That
puts him up, what, 31-24 if he catches that ball? Was it a tie game when he was throwing the ball on that one? Was that a tie game? Hadn't they just tied it?
They actually, no.
No,
it,
that's
it was
right.
30, it was 31-24 Buffalo.
We were down 31-24,
right,
but it would have tied it at
31. It would have tied it at 31,
31
and there would have
right
been more time at the end of the
more
game.
More time at the end of
right
the game.
They
correct
ended up getting the fourth down touchdown
they did,
with Welker.
But it took five minutes off
much
the clock,
yeah, right,
and so they had no time left
gave
at the end of the game.
The opportunity
but
to kneel
had,
down.
Had
and
Ocho caught
stuff
it, I still think that they'd probably come back and win the
now
game.
Now, there's one other play that I think deserves mention.
All right.
And that's the Josh Barrett interception that was overturned. There was a lot of this talk about, oh, was it pass interference on, you know, Brown? He had his hands up. According to some people who have watched the game over and saw the replays, Fitzpatrick's pass was tipped at the line ever so slightly.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Which means there is no such thing as pass interference on
right
a tipped ball.
Shouldn't
you can do
be
whatever you want to
right
anybody on the field.
Well, I think we all know that the pass interference call was a pretty cheap one anyway because it was really away from the play. And the flag apparently came after the
after
touchdown
the interception
had been scored,
right,
or after the pick,
the
had, been
pick
made, yeah
had been made. Right.
And so it's kind of like, well, what's up with that? Then you have to wonder about, you know, what's the motivation here for throwing it?
Right.
I mean, if it's after the pick is made, the play is basically dead.
Mm-hmm.
So why does the guy throw the flag to begin with? I really question, I think it was the back judge that threw the flag, and I question why the flag would not have been eaten on that particular case.
Yeah, I was stunned by it too, and like I said, regardless of whether or not the pass was tipped, I agree with your
assessment.
Well,
if it was tipped,
if
then
it was
you're right,
tipped,
it's a moot
then
point
it's an egregious call.
Right.
because there's no such thing as pass interference on a tipped pass.
Okay, you know what? I originally today, I said, I know there's still a lot to nitpick on because the phone lines were jammed yesterday.
You said you weren't
going to
do it.
And I said I wasn't going to do it. And I even said on Facebook
today. I baited you
today,
into it.
No, I said on Facebook today, I said, let's turn the page.
Well, and, we will, but I just,
we
it's
are.
My first day
but,
back, and
yeah,
I
understand.
To
no, no, no.
Bit,
you're right,
you know?
Because you have to, yeah, and you're, besides, you brought me Buffalo.
Your sauce has gotten you all wound up here,
I know.
John.
I'm into the Buffalo thing right now. I got to go home and, like, figure out a use for that. I can put that on chicken, put that on steak, or put that on.
Cornflakes.
I might.
Just pour it in a bowl.
I can open it up. Yes.
Put it in a
I can put it over right now and take a swig.
Or a little bit in your shampoo bottle.
I could swig. I should do it for Todd in Nova Scotia. I could just take a swig.
Keep that moss going.
That's right. Chia head.
This is why we need webcams for this show.
Absolutely not.
I don't think
we need webcams.
You don't need webcams? Why?
I don't know. I don't want people looking at me. I wouldn't.
Who
want
said anything about you, brother?
No. That's true. Fine. You got me there.
Boom. Time to get a rim shot?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
It's like the flag at the pass interference.
Too late. Come on. Kev, we love you. You know that. Okay. So, another one. Yeah. Oh, he's rolling now. He's rolling. See, I think the time off does you good every year. Every week when you come in on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's good. He gets warmed up here.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Insight and inspiration. All right. So if we turn the page toward Oakland,
right?
Well, what we know now about this football team, and I want to get into the practice report today because I think it is significant.
Yep.
You talked about it for those that may have just logged on for this show and didn't hear any of PFW today. There is some news to tell you about. First and foremost, we do have Gerard Warren back in the fold. It was made official by the team today, something that we speculated on now for a couple of weeks.
Landon Cohen was the casualty.
We opened up last week by saying, where the hell's
right.
Gerard?
Right.
And we tried to surmise, well, why Gerard wasn't here and Landon was, and now the team has also apparently thought likewise like we were because they've kind of done a little bit of a 180 on this thing.
Yeah, and I think maybe, you know, the rationale we talked about was that, you know, maybe they hold Warren out for later in the year to sort of give him time to, you know, be fresh for the playoffs.
But now
it doesn't
we need
that
experience
luxury.
Now. We need guys that can collapse a pocket.
Yeah.
We need guys that can get to the QB. Now, again, that's not really Warren's game. Warren's game is to run stuff, and as I suggested, to help Wilfork collapse a pocket.
Right.
Hopefully to allow one of the ends or a linebacker to come in and actually make the sack.
Right.
You have to collapse the pocket first, and this is where the team is identified, I believe, and I think you and I can probably concur on this. This is where the team really is suffering. Where you're seeing rush, but you're not seeing touches. You're not seeing hits on the quarterback.
Mm.
And the best way to do that is to make sure that there's no pocket for the quarterback to step into.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that Gerard Warren has done pretty consistently in his career.
Right.
He only had 3.5 sacks, but they don't rely on him for sacks like what he did last year. They rely on him.
They
to,
don't rely on him directly.
No.
But as you're saying, it's
he's
the
a
indirect
two-gap guy.
Consequence
he's
of
a
what
two,
he does.
He is a two-gap guy, and they need some two-gap help in there. He's taking on a couple of guys, and they need him to get in there and wreak some havoc. Mm. And in the absence of having a Haynesworth, or even if Haynesworth's in there, when Haynesworth is out for a blow, they need Warren in there to pick up the slack or to, you know, restart everything with Wilfork and to make hell, really, for the center and the two guards on the opposing offensive line.
Well, since you mentioned Haynesworth, I'll start with the good news from practice.
Go.
He was back
that
after
is
missing
good news.
The last two practices with a back injury, and he obviously missed the Buffalo game. So he was out there on the field. They were full pads today for the first time in a couple of weeks,
That's good, too.
Which I think necessitated by the fact that they didn't really tackle all that well
in
the second half and the latter stages.
It was terrible. It was awful. I think everybody needs that. These guys need to hit somebody.
Other good news, Patrick Chung, second practice in a row he's been out there. He didn't play in the game, obviously, and I think we saw some of the results of that.
We did.
Negatively impacting the Patriots. But he was back out there, so that's, I think, a good sign. And he made a couple of appearances in the locker room. As well, didn't speak, but he was, you know, not hiding from us when we were in there. So that's some good news. Downside, though, Logan Mankins wasn't out there, and I don't know why at this point, because it seemed like he played the entire game on Sunday, and I didn't notice anything injury wise with him then. So I don't know if it was something that cropped up later or what, but we'll certainly find out around 4 o'clock when the injury report comes out today. And still no Sebastian Vollmer. His back injury continues to be a concern. And again, this is something he had in college, back issues. I don't know if it's exactly the same issue, but the fact that it's with your back is not good, and it lends more credibility to the presumption I think we had that he maybe rushed back a little too soon after the opener and wasn't quite ready and may have done more harm than good by doing so. Just speculation, because that's all we have, but
right.
Connecting the dots, it kind of looks that way. The other somewhat bad news was that Aaron Hernandez, who did talk to us very briefly and sort of grudgingly, but he did do it to update his status, said he felt good and was doing everything he could to get back out there, was hopeful that he would be back this week, wasn't at practice today, so that's not a good start to the week for him. And, of course, Mike Wright with his concussion, still no sign of him.
I'm a little worried now about Brady's armor. The guy's in front of him.
Yeah.
And going up against a motivated Richard Seymour this week. Mm-hmm. I think that's a concern.
Especially on the left side, because as Bill said, I think Monday, they've been basically playing Seymour at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the spot opposite the left guard. So if the all-pro left guard isn't there,
well,
that's an advantage.
Again, it's still early in the week.
Right.
We don't know what the report's going to say today.
Or whatever. It could be non-injury related.
And he could be back tomorrow, as long as he's back by Friday, it could be plenty of time.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, this bears watching.
Right. And in a week, in the NFL, the week isn't 7 days. The week is three.
Right.
The work week. Anyway.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's the work week.
Film on Monday, off on Tuesday,
Wednesday, work, Thursday,
Friday.
Work, work,
right.
Walk through travel.
And go.
And then game
right.
on Sunday. So
right.
you have 3 days to prepare
right.
for a game,
right.
essentially. Physically prepare for a game.
Right.
And if you miss any one of those, it's significant and could hamper your chances of performing that week.
Mm. All right.
So there you go. A little bit of good and bad with practice, which is usually how it is.
At this stage of the game, I think we just have to realize this is what we're going to have to take. There's going to be a little bit of the bad with the good just about every week. We've said all along that injury problems are going to be something that every team in the NFL is going to have to overcome.
Right.
And injury problems are affecting everybody in the league. And
they
I
are.
Think we know that. The teams that are left standing at the end of the season are the ones that A, have depth, B, have prepared to bring in additional depth as the season goes along. In other words, doing your due diligence on quote-unquote street free agents and the like, guys that are at your beck and call, and flat out, sometimes sheer stinking luck is a factor.
It's very true. I mean, look at the Colts. If their quarterback doesn't have a neck injury, they're not 0-3.
No, I don't think so. I think everybody realizes that. But, you can understand, though, I mean, it's kind of like, well, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm kind of like, I'm so disappointed because this team is all Peyton. You'd like to think that you've progressed to the point where you have more than just Peyton Manning, but it's very easy to see. You don't.
Mm.
And I think that was one of the things that I nitpicked on yesterday, Eric, was here on the show, I'm telling, the fans, and I had a lot of people agree, that I think my biggest nitpick was that this Patriot team doesn't seem to have more than Tom Brady right now. And does that make us the Indianapolis Colts? Well, yeah, kind of.
But as long as they do have Brady, they're not the Colts.
Right.
Thank God.
But you didn't have Brady at his best, and you lost a game. So
right.
My biggest nitpick was there wasn't a guy that could step up and make a play on defense.
No.
There wasn't a guy. There
no.
is no guy. I'm not worried about the offense.
Right.
I had several emailers and Facebookers say, you know what? It's the offense's fault. And I understand where they're coming from, but I'm not buying that, okay? Because
in so much as they had four turnovers.
Right.
It's the offense's fault.
Sure.
But they scored 31 points.
There's my point exactly. Anytime you score 31, you should not lose a game.
No.
You should not lose a game. If your defense can't hold a team to less than 30, you suck.
Right.
It's that simple. You're not good. So let's figure out how to fix the one thing that really needs fixing on this team.
Mm.
And it's the defense. Now, can this defense still get better? Sure it can. But I'm really alarmed by the schemes that they're playing. They're going more man, and we're seeing the heels of these defensive backs, okay?
Yeah.
So they better figure out some kind of, either they better go to some, mix in some zone or coach these guys up pretty quick or fire all of them and bring in Darren, Sharper because flank, I don't know what else they can do, but they've got to do something to stick on these receivers because teams are going to go over the top and they're just going to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland's laughing already. The Patriots are a finesse team.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to be in the locker room down the hallway. They're a finesse team. Okay, that's the book on the Patriots after 3 weeks. They're a finesse team. makes me want to go out and slap somebody in the mouth right now. So, present company excluded.
I was going to say, I come bearing gifts, and he's threatening
violence. No, not you. You brought gifts.
I'm blaming it on the suicidal sauce.
But that's the competitor in me, you know? If somebody challenges me like that, I'm like, well, I want to show you. Let's get out there. Let's go. Let's a couple of Rams, and let's butt heads. Let's go. And so I hope that these guys down the locker room are taking that sort of an attitude, you know, on themselves, because frankly, that's a concern. You don't want to get that kind of a moniker.
No, but it's one thing to take it seriously and try to use it as motivation. It's another thing to go out there and actually perform.
Well, that's why this week
at a level that this week is equal
huge.
To your challenge.
Yeah, you want to see this team rise to the challenge. I mean, I think we all know that this team, in the past, other editions of the Patriots have responded to perceived slights better than almost any other team in sports history. This team operates with a chip on their shoulder permanent, and they really do a great job at it. They take the smallest, littlest, stupidest thing, and it becomes a boulder on the shoulder. And they really know how to play off that. But, you know, as this roster makeover continues to reinvent itself. Again, 16, 17 new faces. I haven't even looked at the roster. I'm sure it's probably more than that now. But over a year ago, you're losing more and more guys out of that locker room that have been under that kind of an influence. So it's almost as if they have to reteach themselves every year, with a few exceptions of guys like Brady and Kevin Faulk in particular, who have been in the locker room, and Matt Lyde and Logan Mankins and some of these other guys that are, you know, knock you in the mouth kind of guys. And you hope that that will rub off. Because, frankly, that's exactly what you need to have happen. You know? So.
Yeah. Well.
That's my biggest concern.
My, you know, looking ahead to Oakland, as you said you wanted to do, you know, for most of this show today, I feel a little bit better about the game coming up because I don't see Tom Brady and the offense turning the ball over four times like they did this past week. So, in a battle, in a league where it seems like nobody has a defense anymore, and you win by outscoring the other guy in ridiculously high shootouts, I will give the advantage to the better quarterback again, and that's Tom Brady. And I just can't see him making those kind of mistakes again 2 weeks in a row.
So I feel
a little bit better now about going to Oakland. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I share your feeling. Okay, so we'll get into this a little bit later on, because I have my big doubts, especially after hearing your practice report today. We're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back with Monty Poole from Bay Area News. We're going to talk about the resurgence of the Raiders. Here's what I want you to consider today. All right. I want you to make a bold move. We talked a little about this yesterday. And I even had an emailer suggest this would be a great topic, and so I'm throwing it out there today. You came up with the topic. I think it's a great idea. I want you to make a bold move that could change this team for the better right now, week four. It could be something currently existing with the team. Could be a current player playing somebody, not playing somebody. It could be making, you know, you got to think a trade through a little bit. You can't just say, hey, let's go out there and let's get, you know, you can't do that. It's got to work under the what we currently have with the salary cap and all that kind of stuff. Something that's realistic. But I want you to take a bold stroke. Make a bold move. Make a stand. Say something. Do something. Don't stand pat. Make a move. You get to be the GM for a day. What will shake this Patriot team up right now? Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Facebook page is up. John Rook is the name, R-O-O-K-E. Send the friend request if you haven't already done so. We'll answer the friend request. Then you may message. Then you may chat. And you may also post on the Facebook page, and we can do it that way. Make a bold move, will you? Come on, get off the pot. Do it. Next.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
With Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, as we hit the playbook here for week number four, the Patriots and the Oakland Raiders, a 4:15 Eastern time kickoff on Sunday. From Oakland, California, and I think one of the things that's intriguing about the game is the fact that not only did the Raiders whip up on the Jets this last week.
In comeback fashion.
Oh, huge comeback fashion, but they did it by basically, you know, we were talking earlier, Eric, about, you know, hitting the Patriots, hitting somebody in the mouth. Mm-hmm. That's what the Raiders did to the Jets.
Right, out-toughed them.
Ran the ball right at them and right down their throat. Yep. That was very impressive as I watched the whole game. Monty Poole covers the Oakland Raiders for Bay Area News, and he joined us here inside the playbook. Monty, it's John and Eric. How are you?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for taking the time today. How is this team tell us how it's changed. I mean, it certainly seems like under Hugh Jackson, these guys aren't shying away from anybody. Is that something that he brought in with him, or is this just sort of a buildup of things you think maybe that has started a year or more ago?
No, it started last year when he came on board as the offensive coordinator, and Raiders had struggled to score points for a number of years. And then last year, they traded for Jason Campbell, and Al Davis basically said, he's my guy. And then halfway through game number two, they made a change of quarterback and went with Bruce Gradkowski because they didn't think Campbell was very effective. And he wasn't, but it was six quarters in. I thought it was a little premature. Nonetheless, they went with Gradkowski, who kind of provided a little spark there. And so for a number of weeks there, we had a local kind of a controversy as to who should play. And Gradkowski got a lot of people were supportive of him because, again, he brought energy and he didn't win a lot of games, but the team moved the ball between the 20s, and so it looked like something was going on. But by November or so, it was pretty clear that Campbell was going to be the guy and that McFadden was a different runner than he had been his first couple of seasons. I mean, he just didn't look the same. He didn't have any explanation for it, and eventually we got one from the coach, which basically was that they started designing their running plays a little differently. And so what happened is through that period of time, Hugh Jackson was able to gain a lot of, I guess, confidence, a lot of faith in his offensive guys. They carry over to the defense, so when they made the switch at the end of the year going from Cable to Hugh Jackson, it was an obvious move. I think most of us saw Hugh Jackson as sort of the coach in waiting before they actually made it happen. And from the minute he took over, he hit the ground running. He was here alone. His family was back in Ohio somewhere. And so he devoted all of his energy, even throughout the lockout, to rebranding the Raiders, bringing them back to what he thought they used to be. And when they opened camp, that energy spilled over to the players. They bought into it. They're still buying into him. And, you know, after what they've done, certainly last weekend, I don't think they have any reason not to buy into him. So it's been a process. It's still a process. But basically, he's intensified the energy around the team, made it more positive, and also got guys into believing in each other and being accountable for themselves.
It's amazing what bringing a different type of intensity can do for a team. I mean, you know, we've seen it here over a number of years, and it sort of carried over a little bit, but as this team sort of reworks itself here on the East Coast, you can still see that we talk about the Patriot way. And I know back, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was the Raider way. It was the Al Davis way. And even though people sort of ridicule that now because Mr. Davis is obviously up there in years, but at the same time, you know, you kind of got that sense. I got that sense watching that team against the Jets. I'm like, wow, this is the way they used to play back when Mark Van Egan was running the football,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard this, but it's almost as if when Hugh Jackson got the job, he told Mr. Davis, look, my promise to you is that you will see the kind of football you saw when the Raiders were great. And we're going to do it that way. We're going to be physical. We're going to be intimidating. We're going to be the kind of team that people don't want to face. And that, of course, would be music to Mr. Davis's ears. I mean, that's what he wants to hear. It's what he wants to see. And you're right. You know, Al has been ridiculed quite a bit over the recent years because they haven't been very good. They've been awful. And when they were good in recent years, you can at best say they were mediocre. So being 2-1 is sort of a big deal, but being 2-1 after beating a team the quality of the Jets really makes a statement. So we're thinking out here that if they can find a way to beat New England, which I think is going to be much more difficult than beating the Jets, if they can find a way to do that, then I think it validates that they are really maybe on to something here.
Well, I think it was also impressive that they beat the Jets in comeback fashion after having lost to the Bills by letting the Bills come back against them after a big lead. It showed some character that you probably haven't seen from the Raiders in recent years. So that again was another sign that I thought the Raiders stamped their legitimacy a little bit more early on in this season was the way they came back.
Yeah.
One question for you about Darren McFadden. It seems to, in this league, running backs tend to have quick starts to their career. They're either really good right away and then tail off later. It's very rare that they start off slow and eventually become good, but it kind of seems like that's what happened to McFadden. It seems like he had sort of a slow start to his NFL career, and now he's becoming the back that we kind of saw from Arkansas. Is that the same? Is that accurate to say from your perspective?
It's fairly accurate. I mean, he was good in spurts the first few years, but he couldn't stay healthy, but we still didn't know how good he could be. You know, going into last year, there were still questions about him. A few fans had given up on him, said, "Ah, he's a bust. He'll never work out." But there are most fans, I think, were kind of wondering, okay, can this guy ever be the player that we thought he was going to be when he was drafted? Well, according to Hugh, he says, I went in one day and asked Darren, what do you want to do? I mean, what works for you? What do you want to do? And he said, McFadden looked at him like he was crazy. He said, he told me, it doesn't matter what I want to do. We're the Raiders and we do what the Raiders want to do. And Jackson says to McFadden that, well, I've been given enough authority with the offense here to kind of feel you guys out, see what works for you. My marching orders are to do what works best and do what will score points, which led to McFadden basically saying that here's what we did at Arkansas, and it's different than what we did at the Raiders. Raiders were into the Tom Cable zone blocking scheme, which McFadden just never really got the hang of. I mean, there are running backs that can excel behind it, and there are other running backs that just can't quite get it. And so I think some of it was in his head. I think some of it was mental, that he couldn't quite get the sense of that. And he tells Hugh Jackson that what I want to do, what really I feel comfortable doing is just one cut and go, you know. And so Jackson interprets that to mean that we want to do more power running schemes. And okay between the tackles, get him outside, get him in some space, but he can do a little bit of all those things, but basically design running plays around what the running back feels comfortable with, different sets. And so it really has worked. It's a rare thing. You say, you're right, that guys start slow and all of a sudden find themselves in year three or four, but McFadden, that seems to be the case. We still don't know whether he can play 16 games, and I question that. I don't think he can, but when he's out there, he is pretty darn good.
Yeah, hearing you talk about Darren McFadden brings back memories of Lawrence Maroney here. First round picks, you know, he had flashes early on. You know, after year two, three, or four, people were writing him off as a bust, and we thought, you know, this is the year, and then next year, this is the year. And it never happened for Lawrence. It's, it must be encouraging for Raider fans to actually see a success story, at least through the first 3 weeks here of the season with McFadden.
Oh, everybody's on the bandwagon now. They all love.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Absolutely. How is Jason Campbell, again, we're with Monty Poole from Bay Area News here inside the playbook. How has Jason Campbell changed from when he was at Washington? How is he a different quarterback, or is he?
I think there are a couple things that have happened. First of all, I think late last season he began to see, I think his confidence was shaken by the whole Gretkowski change. Mm. And I think you understand that. But I think late last season, he had a tremendous game against the Chargers in San Diego, and the Raiders won it. And that's a place they really haven't had much success in over the years. But they really they dominated that game, and Campbell was dominant in that game. And I think from that point forward, they just kind of became, he settled in and figured, you know what, okay, this is my team, and, you know, I can play good football. I have some weapons here. And it carried over in the training camp. I mean, during training camp, it was made clear that he was the guy, and he handled himself that well. He always could throw the football. He always had enough heart to be out there. He's shown good leadership qualities, but I think he's been more vocal this year than he was last year. And so, and he says, you know, last year he came in kind of, he was basically a draft day deal, and, he was out here and trying to adapt to a new coast, a new organization. This year, he's ready. He came ready to go, and you're seeing that. I mean, I think he's got some weapons, of course, as long as they stay healthy. They lost Zach Miller, which, you know, I think we thought was a big loss at the time. It still may be, but right now it looks like Kevin Boss can do pretty much everything Zach did. So I think Campbell's mindset is a little different now. I just think he feels very confident that this is his team, and that it will be his team. And I think also having Al Saunders over on this coast now, he worked with Al in Washington, And so Al's now working with him here. So between Al and Hugh, they've really sort of set it up to where Jason has a good chance to succeed game to game.
Where would you say this team's real overall strength lies that may not be obvious or evident to a team, you know, to a fan that doesn't really watch this team? I mean, a lot of our fans don't see a lot of Raider games simply because of the distance between the two franchises and the two cities. Yeah. So if you had to tell someone, this is what Oakland does best, this is what you got to look out for, what would you tell them?
Well, the strength of this team is its defensive line. I mean, I think the defensive line is as good as it's been. They came back to Oakland in 1995, and it is as good now, I think, as it has been at any time since then, including the years when they were going to the playoffs in the late 90s and early part of this millennium. So I think that's the strength. They get after the passer. They put pressure on. Their run defense kind of comes and goes. I mean, there are times when they're really good at it, and there are times when they're not so good at it. But they have four guys that can rush the passer. That, to me, is their strength. They're back seven. A lot of questions still.
We'd take one here if we could.
Yeah, we'd like
one guy who could rush the passer.
Could we have the one back that we gave you?
Seriously.
Because I kind of knew, Monty, that you were going to say that. I don't know why, but I had an inkling, and that's why it kind of led me into the whole Richard Seymour thing here, because frankly, you know, and I have made this exact argument on this program and others here on this particular, you know, in this organization, told them I think the Patriots blew it when they traded him away a couple of years ago. I think they may have mortgaged a potential Super Bowl that season when they got rid of him, and because I thought that there was still life left in his legs. Mm-hmm. Clearly, there is life left in his legs.
Yeah, I don't know if Richard is as good as he was at his best back there.
Right.
But there are series when he plays when he is dominating. And so I don't think he can bring it as often as he once did, but he can still bring it. And when he does, you can tell. I mean, you've got some young horses up front, guys like Matt Shaughnessy and Lamar Houston.
My boy.
Desmond Bryant.
Hook him.
Tommy Kelly's also very good now, you know, so they're fun to watch when they're on their game, but they have to be because, honestly, the back seven is not really that strong right now. And that's why I think this game is going to be a real test for them because I think Brady knows how to deal with a pass rush. And if you give him just enough time, I think he can pick apart a weak back seven, and I think that's what they have. So it's going to be interesting to watch how they combat each other on Sunday.
Boy, it's 2 weeks in a row now the Patriots are facing a team that's almost identical to them, with the strength of their defense being up front,
mm-hmm.
with a weak secondary or back seven,
mm-hmm.
and offense that can put up points, and a defensive line that rotates a lot of guys. That's been the big story here this year, is all the D linemen that New England brought in and how they rotate and they try to stay fresh. But it sounds like in Oakland you're getting more pressure on the quarterback than we're getting here.
Yeah, no, that's been their key. I mean, when they can rush the quarterback, they're really good. And Buffalo figured that out. I mean, that's why, you know, if you watch that game, you'll see a lot of quick pass, a lot of 3 and 5 step drops where he just gets the ball out of there. And, you know, if Tom Brady sees that, he's going to be thinking the same thing. I mean, it's the way to go if you want to beat this team because the back seven is still figuring itself out.
Monty, before we let you go, both of these teams certainly, they have something in common. They both lost to Buffalo. So because of that, and realizing that, though, that this is a step in the right direction, I think, for Oakland, whereas Patriots fans are in a minor panic this week because they feel like they took a step back, how does Oakland take advantage, maybe, of this situation with the Patriots having to do the traveling and having to do all the, you know, maybe self-evaluation this week, whereas Oakland can kind of go full steam ahead with some great momentum behind them?
Well, you know, I think it comes down to belief. I mean, Raider teams in the past, I think, wanted to believe in themselves, and they always had a problem. And when I say past, I mean recent past. Their problem was this. Whenever they would have a fairly impressive win for where they were, the following week they couldn't back it up. And it's almost as if they bought into their own hype and thinking, okay, we're back now, we're good now. And the following week they lose. So I don't think Hugh Jackson is going to really allow for that. I think he's going to ride them all week. And I also, I'm convinced, I'm on my way over to the Raiders' place now, but I'm convinced that Richard Seymour is also going to be putting a few bugs in people's ears. So I think they'll be ready for this game mentally and physically. And I expect a pretty good game.
Black Hole will be ready too, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're looking forward to this one. Absolutely.
I've always, actually, believe it or not, I've always had a death wish. I've always wanted to sit in the Black Hole.
Well, you can do it as long as you don't wear
another color, yeah, right?
A Patriots jersey, but only certain teams. You can't be Patriots, you can't be Niners, you can't be Broncos or Chargers or Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Chiefs, Monty, I want to leave you with this. You brought up the Chiefs. We have a guy named Brian Waters, who you probably are familiar with, is a longtime Chiefs guard. He's playing right guard for us now. Had one of the best quotes that we've had in this locker room in a long time earlier today. People were talking about, you know, the uniqueness of Oakland and that atmosphere over there and some of the strangest things he's ever seen. And he said, you know, it was the first time I ever saw an old lady in a wheelchair flipping both birds at me. But
that's
then,
the hole, baby. That's the hole.
Right. So I tweet that quote out, and I get a response immediately from one of my followers saying that wasn't an old lady. That was Al Davis.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Hey, Monty, thanks for the time today. We sure appreciate it.
Not a problem. Enjoyed it, fellas.
All right. All right, Monty. We'll see you out there.
That's Monty Poole from the Bay Area News, covers the Oakland Raiders. That's good. That's a good line. I like that.
Oh. That wasn't an old lady. That was Al Davis.
Al Davis.
I'll be here all week.
It was good.
That is a good one. All right. Brian in California has been very kind to hang on since we were talking to Mr. Poole. So we're going to let Brian from California have the floor. Brian, you're in the playbook.
How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
On a lighter note, some drastic changes I think the Pats need to make in order to get us back to where we need to be is Chad Ochocinco needs to change his name back to Chad Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one.
I just think it's something he can do really subtly to show that he's now a man and he's matured. And as far as the team goes, another drastic thing that needs to happen is really we just need to have our players healthy because it's hard to rotate guys in and out on the defense when half of them aren't there to rotate in and out.
No arguments here. None whatsoever. You know, I understand what the fixation is with Ochocinco. I get why fans are frustrated. I think we share some of that frustration. But honestly, a lot of it has to do with the fact that it just takes a while to get on the same page. And there was no off season. Somebody sent me a Facebook message the other day saying, you know, it has nothing to do with OTAs. It has everything to do with catching the ball. I don't disagree with that. But it's really hard to catch the ball when quarterback doesn't really yet feel like you're going to be in the spot that you need to be in. And the only way that you can learn how to get to that spot is through working and through talking and through running routes.
And when he does throw you the ball,
catch the ball.
It. Yeah. Because he will sour on you quickly.
Yeah,
if you don't.
Yeah. And I kind of
won't go back to you.
No. So, I mean, that did not help him on Sunday.
Especially when you're wide open.
Yeah. So, I mean. I would admit that he's on the clock. Ocho's on the clock.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, I said, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. I think we really have to sort of, you know, give the guy, and I'm not going to really waver from that, but I will say because he dropped the one that could have tied the score this week and could have changed the outcome. I would tell you that, you know, he's, all right, you're on the clock now, bro, because, you know, I'm sure Tom will come back to you. And you got to come up. You got to make a play. I screamed yesterday on this program about not having enough playmakers other than Tom Brady, whether it's offense or defense. And I was largely going defense, but it goes to say on offense, you didn't have Aaron Hernandez out there. He is a playmaker. Mm-hmm. Wes Walker was out there. He was the only other playmaker you really had. So somebody's got to step up. I think we lost him, but that's okay. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Broken up signal there. Anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, somebody's got to step up and make the play. Yeah. And Ocho, hey, let's go. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time. You know?
Yeah, it's time.
Show us something. Show us what you got.
All right. For me to go, too.
Yes, I know.
Sorry.
You're getting ready to write here.
Yeah.
Couple of real quick items. Let me see. I thought I had one here for you.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
For me?
Well, it just says John, Eric, and Kevin.
Oh, okay.
I just read what Hugh Jackson, the Raiders coach, said about Ochocinco at his Wednesday interview. He said he adored Chad Johnson from the time they spent together in Cincinnati and that he thought of him as a son. He said Sunday, though, he will try to beat Chad and the Patriots. He also said when he coached Chad, he said his philosophy toward Chad was, I let him have his own personality. That could be the secret to Chad for New England. Do you think we, as I mean the fans, Bill Belichick and the media, are confining this guy so much, forcing him into the Patriot way, that we're restricting his talent? Maybe we just need to leave Chad alone for now. Ding, 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 ding. I did not know of this relationship between the two. Talking about Hugh Jackson,
Jackson
and Chad Johnson,
yep.
Right? And I also... Where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that from?
I'll reveal my sources.
Okay. And also, I believe Chad will have his best game yet as a Patriot. To me, there's a sort of respect factor there. I just cannot believe that Chad will not embarrass himself in front of his former mentor. What do you guys think of the idea?
Well, Chad knew what he was getting into when he came here.
Right.
And he wanted to come here. And he knew what Bill was all about. He knew what he was going to have to do. Excuse me. Toning down his personality. So I can't really say now go back on what you knew was going to happen. I don't know. I would I like to see him be himself? Yeah. But I think he wants so badly to succeed that even though he won't admit it to us, he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. I think he needs to be the one to let himself be more of himself. I don't think he's feeling the pressure as much from external sources as up in his own head.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I do think I think there's a certain amount of we do need to kind of let him alone here and give him a chance to breathe. And like I said earlier, I think I understand why there's pressure and why fans are anxious because he's such a huge personality. They want the huge personality to come in and make a huge play.
They do. That's the thing. They want him to catch the ball. They expect him, especially, and it's a little unfair that, you know, his arrival comes after Randy Moss was here, who caught everything from day one. He had some of the best hands you'll ever see, ran routes precisely, had the time, all that. It's so unfair to make the comparison, but
different receiver.
Unfortunately, that's the environment that he's working with here.
What are you working on today?
Running game and the need for more of it.
Okay. On the blog or just a feature for
On the website.
Okay.
And it'll probably be an extended piece in the paper. But,
good. Yep. Excellent. Okay. Read it. You'll be in here at least for part tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, we still have to figure out what's going on with that. Yeah, but I'll at least be here my usual first hour.
I should mention that tomorrow's my first absence of the season. And the reason that it is because I've got a college football
Thursday.
Yeah, I got a college football Thursday assignment. I'll be doing USF at Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, so. Heinz Field. Good place. We went there last year. We're going back
there
again.
Sucks to do a broadcast there because they stick you in the end zone. You can't see the other
side of the field.
No. Yeah. So you better bring your binoculars. You don't have binoculars, you're DOA. And you're making stuff up.
Always
I have them too.
Them.
I learned the hard way. Remember, in fact,
that's right.
One of the first times I ever went to a game at Heinz Field after it was built. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
What the hell is this? This is network radio here. You're in the end zone. And of course, the Pittsburgh announcers, they weren't any better than we were. They were in the next booth over.
Right.
So it's like they're in the end zone too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. This is the one thing that they actually did right at Gillette Stadium. They almost screwed it up here when they built this place 10 years ago. You know, the broadcast booths that are between the 30-yard lines almost didn't happen.
Where would they have been?
Upstairs, above where the writers sit. In those booths.
In the corner.
On the blue level. On the red level.
Yeah.
That's where they were going. I'm like, you can't do a game from up here. You can't even do PA from up here. You can't do a game from up there. Because you can't see the field as a game is laid out. Everything is laid out linearly.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a tough word. But it's laid out like that, and you have to call the game like that because that's the way it lays out for the listener at home.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. So they finally are like, okay, they said, let's build it here, blah, blah, blah. And
you can't even say left to right on your radio. You have to say front to back or back to front.
And that's
that doesn't make, that's just poor.
That's just
stupid.
Glad we agree on that. All right, brother.
All right, man.
Hold down the fort.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, we're going to get a timeout in here. Hour number two. We want your emails. Again, make a bold move for this team. Make a bold statement. Do we need to shake it up? If we don't need to shake it up, then say so. But if there is a roster move, there's a personnel move, there's somebody that should be playing, or if there's somebody that should not be playing, if you estimate in your mind that they shouldn't be in there, make a bold move for the New England Patriots. Webradio@patriots.com is the email. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or hit me on Facebook. We'll get to Facebook comments. We'll get the emails. We want your phone calls. We're also going to get into the locker room. Coming up here in hour number two in Patriots Playbook.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
That sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two in Patriots Playbook. My name is John Rook. Our thanks to Eric Scalabino from PFW. We're going to get into the locker room in this particular hour. You know what? And somebody just hit me up on Twitter. My Twitter address is at jrook, J-R-O-O-K-E. 0722. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that as well. I'm totally into that. It's a good way to connect. I try not to kill you with 100,000 tweets during the day. Good ones, thought-provoking ones, sometimes breaking news as I have it, or if I have somebody alongside that is breaking news, I'll be happy to forward their tweet as well. But it's a good way to connect. At any rate, you've got that option as well. I want to get to a couple of Facebook posts because yesterday with all the phones and all the emails we had on Nitpick Tuesday, I had no chance to hit the Facebook page up. So I'm going to hit some of my friends here. Tim, first and foremost, sent this. He goes, bold moves? Well, it was only a month ago they cut a starting safety in Merriweather. How bold do you want to get? I wasn't a Merriweather fan, but I can't say the move helped the team. See, this is what I was talking about yesterday on the show. Okay, yeah, I understand he's not the best in the world, but look at what you got left. Tim says, just keep on working. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction. Don't destroy whatever confidence McCourty and company have left. Going back to last week, the question was, who was the second-best team in the AFC? Consensus was the Jets. With one and two both losing, how much did the playing field change? It's a good question. Could be a good topic for tomorrow.
Could sneak their way up the charts a little bit.
You might have to think so. Right now, though, you got to put Buffalo, I think, at the top. Just because Buffalo's, you know, won some games. They're 3-0. I mean, sounds crazy to say, but can you come up with a better option? I mean, I still think the Patriots are there. I still think the Jets are there. I think Pittsburgh is there. I think Baltimore is still there. I think these teams are all good. San Diego is still there. But, you know, they have losses. The Jets don't. So just you have to consider that. I mean, the Buffalo doesn't.
Jets.
Yeah, Jets do. Buffalo. That's what I meant to say. This one comes from Joshua. He goes, here's a GM move. Defense. Start Arrington over Bodden. Give Cunningham Fletcher more playing time. Trade a draft pick to acquire a big-name pass rusher from another team, like Umanura, Jared Allen, or whatever. On offense, sign Randy Moss, either trade Ocho or keep him on the team as a decoy when on the field. Give Woodhead or Ridley more playing time. Do not let Brady throw over 50-plus times in a game. Run the ball more. You know what? Everything you say there, Joshua, okay.
Like the Ridley comment.
Yeah. I'd like to see Stephen Ridley have more time. Yeah, I'd like to see Stephen Ridley have more time.
Keep the Randy Moss comment.
Yeah, I don't know that you need to go back to that. I think you go to Randy Moss if you have an injury situation and you need somebody because he's familiar and of the system and he would be motivated. But right now, I think it would be bad for the locker room. I agree with that, Matt. I do. I agree with you there. I don't think it's good for the locker room right now. But if you need somebody, if someone's out for a while, then yeah, absolutely go get it.
Yeah, say you lose, even if you lose a Deion Branch, Ocho Cinco, Taylor Price still dinged up, something like that, and you need that one guy, I would say look at Moss, but I just don't know. I think that, one, has he been working out? Is he in shape?
Mm-hmm.
Two, do you really want him back in that locker room? Look what he did to the locker room when he was here.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, do you really want that back?
Yeah, that's right. And the answer to that is no, not right now. If you have to have it back, you only do it in a desperate situation where you really need it. The other thing Joshua mentions is you should pay Welker every little penny he deserves and not let him sign with another team. I think that's got to be the next move made off the field. You got to re-sign the guy because he's up after this year. I think we all realize that he was probably going to be in the next contract they really paid attention to once they got Logan Mankins' deal settled. You know, it's got to be Welker now. And, yes, you need to pay the man. Man has earned his money. Pay the man.
Just last game he earned his money.
Pay the man.
Tied the team record in receptions.
Pay the man.
Beat it in receiving yards. Give that man a new contract.
Pay the man. How many more times do I need to say it? Pay the man. He's earned it. Steve says, John, do you think with the addition of Warren back on the roster, do you think this team has a better chance of stopping McFadden from putting up huge yards against us? Yes. In a word, what do you think about starting Fletcher at linebacker to help plug the gaps? We haven't seen much production out of him on defense since the preseason. Could he be beneficial in this respect? I right now, no, but I would say that, yes, he probably should get some playing time, especially when you anticipate passing downs because they're not getting any coverage out of anybody. I think Dane Fletcher is more of a coverage guy. Steve says, I watched the Raiders-Jets game again last night. Campbell scares me a bit. The Raiders also like to put in a few trick plays to throw off the defense. I think we'll get burned on a few in a similar way the Jets did. I fear this game will fall on Brady's shoulders yet again to put up big yards and points and yards for us to win. I totally agree, Steve. It's going to take some time for this defense to work itself out. However it's going to work itself out, it's going to require more time. It's not going to just happen this week. I hope what we can see is some kind of a progression toward improvement. Somebody step up and make a big play. They made Kyle Arrington at 2 picks last week, okay? And that really got overshadowed by the 4 that Brady threw. So I don't want to say that nobody stepped up to make a play. Arrington did. He picked off 2, but the defense couldn't capitalize on it. So if the defense can't capitalize on it, then the defense has to look itself in the mirror and say, all right, what are we doing wrong? Clearly, they're not covering anybody. or they're covering, but they're not covering long enough. And the reason they're not covering long enough is because the quarterback's got all day to throw. I mean, the quarterback and the receiver, they know where the ball's going. Defensive backs don't know where the ball's going. So that's why it's so much harder for a DB to stay where a receiver's got up with him, because the receiver knows where he's got to go. So if you're not putting pressure on the quarterback to make the quarterback throw early or decide early where he's got to go, you have lost the battle. That is the very essence of pass defense. The very essence, forget, you know, cover corner, this and that, and blitz and zone. Forget it. Pass defense starts with pass rush.
I don't care who you have back there. They're not going to stop every play, every game.
No. You can have, you know, we've had really good cover corners. Ty Law was one of the best in the biz when he played here. You know, Numdi Asamoah, former Raider, and I didn't get a chance to ask Poole about that, but, you know, he's probably one of the best, if not the best in the game right now. He doesn't cover every receiver every step of the way on every play. You can't do it.
Look at that Eagles defensive backfield. You have Samuel, former Pro Bowler. Rogers Cromartie, former Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Numdi Asamoah, former Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
That's three of the best guys in the game right now.
And the Eagles are 1-2.
And they're 1-2, and they got burnt deep by Victor Cruz on a regular basis.
Okay. Victor Cruz, right? UMass is Victor Cruz, right? People forget that.
Pride of Amherst.
That's right. Pride of Amherst, Massachusetts, right? Okay. So here's Victor Cruz schooling three All-Pros that you just said, Matt. So all I'm saying is that it's impossible. It's the toughest job, I think, individually, that a football player has, and that's covering a wide receiver. I think defensive back, cover corner, if you will, that's the hardest position to master. That's the hardest position to play. I do. I think so. Because you get burnt. You can get burnt. You can get toasted on any play. Remember Elvis Toast Patterson? You get toasted on every play.
That's a good reference right there. Not a lot of people are going to know that one.
He's a good athlete, but what do we remember him for? Getting toasted, getting burnt. That's what we remember the guy for. I call my son Toast for every time I burn him in the backyard. He's like, what do you mean Toast, Dad? I don't get that. I said, go look up Elvis.
Get that kid in the history
Go look. Up, I said, go Google Elvis Patterson. Then you're going to see a picture of Toast. we have way too much fun on the show. All right. Let's get into the locker room, and then we're going to get back to the emails. Again, make a bold move. Some good ones already suggested already. Via Facebook, email webradio@patriots.com. Phone lines are open on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or hit me up on Facebook with a bold move. Come on, let's make a bold statement here. Something that's within reality, something that's within reason, something you think that is doable. Joshua just gave me three of them. What do you think? All right, we'll get back to more of those in a moment. I want to go into the Patriots locker room earlier today. I got a chance to listen to the conversation with Brian Waters. Now, Waters, as you know, 11-year NFL veteran, spent, obviously, most of his time before coming to New England in the AFC West with the Kansas City Chiefs, lining up twice a year in what has been really one of the longtime traditional AFC / AFL / NFL rivalries in the Chiefs versus the Raiders, doing that twice a year as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Some interesting perspective from now Patriot Brian Waters talking about the Oakland Raiders and getting ready for this week's matchup.
How much do you think numbers validate what a defensive lineman or his stance can be across the NFL in terms of?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is based off numbers. So, you know, as a football player, when you're going against another football player, it's about that particular thing. It's not really about the numbers at the end of the day. And I have a high respect for his play on football.
Brian, how much do they move him along the defensive line? Matt was saying they do a lot of stunning, and he doesn't sit in one DT.
None of them do. I think that's one of the things that they game plan for week by week, is to try to make sure to take advantage of if they perceive notion that they have an advantage by moving some guys from different positions and try to take advantage of matchups. They definitely try to do that.
Brian, how much are you looking forward to meeting the challenge of playing a physical
D-line
like this as an offensive
lineman? I think as an offensive lineman, you always want to meet the challenge of anybody, anytime you want to be, you know, going against a physical group. You definitely want to match them as best you can. And, you know, this is going to be it's a very diverse group because they have so many guys that they play. So you get the biggest thing is to be prepared for each guy that you're going to face from play to play.
Do you anticipate them, for that reason, being energized and fresh on every single down, whereas you guys don't get a lot of those.
Well, I think they're going to be energized because they have a good football team, and they're playing at home. They've got some things going. They just beat a good football team last week, so I expect to see them play at a very high level. The fact that they have a lot of guys to throw at you really helps, you know, keep them fresh, but I think the energy is not going to be a problem for them on Sunday, I don't believe.
You've played in that stadium more than most people in this, mm-hmm. this locker room probably. What's unique about that place and that atmosphere?
Everything. from the time you drive in to the end of the game, you're going to probably see a lot of different things, some good, some bad. But the biggest thing is a player going in there, and the one thing you try to get across to the young guys as much as possible is don't focus on those things. Really try not to pay attention to those things because they can be a distraction. They can be a great distraction if you're allowed to.
Will you be less popular as a Chief or a Patriot in that building?
I don't think popularity. I don't care who it is. When you walk in there, I don't care who you are. I think you're going to be, they're not going to like you. And they're not going to like you, your family, your friends. And they're going to have no issues of letting you know.
Brian Waters, again, in the Patriots locker room earlier today. You know, here's a guy that's seen it all, been around. You know, you just, when you listen to Brian talk, he's a professional. Guy's a pro. He's learned how to do it right. He's learned how to carry himself. He knows the right things to say. He's the kind of guy that, you know, frankly, if you had to line up next to him, you want to line up next to that guy, because you know he's a guy that's going to do his job. You don't have to worry about a guy like Brian Waters. He's going to do what he's supposed to do on any given play, any given assignment. Some pretty good perspective there. You know, I think that, you know, clearly this team is going to have some problems at time at tackle. Eric told us in the first hour today about the injury problems to Sebastian Vollmer. Still not in practice today. Still apparently got a back issue that may take a while before it clears itself up, which means then, again, you're going to put the rookie probably over there in Nate Solder. Not that that's a bad thing. It actually could be a good thing in hindsight, because here's a guy that's going to be learning, you know, as we go. But I think all things being equal, you'd like to have the depth first and foremost. You'd like to have the flexibility. Solder's also worked at guard as well. So if you've got the flexibility, you're a better offensive unit. Flip it to the other side of the offensive line, and the left side may really have its work cut out for it this week. Why? Because lining up at least the first 3 weeks of this year at right tackle for the Oakland Raiders is one number 93 in Richard Seymour. So, I mean, first of all, Logan Mankins was not in practice today. We don't know if it's an injury. We'll have to wait for the injury report to come out here in about 40, 45 minutes from now.
For the sake of Tom Brady, you hope it's the flu.
You hope it was just, you know, maybe a non-illness or injury-related absence today. And if it is an injury or illness, that it's just something that's 24 hours, and you're right, he'll be back on the field tomorrow. Because if you don't have Logan Mankins, this team's depth, well, you know, hey, let's watch the waiver wire. Let's see if somebody gets called up first and foremost from the practice squad, and or if street free agent gets brought in, because, you know, that's, you're going to know that there's some trouble there. I'm not going to panic just yet, but Logan Mankins was not at practice today.
I'll panic if he's not there Friday.
Right.
If he's not at practice on Friday, right, that's when the panic meter goes way up, because
could be
Richard Seymour, say what you want to say about him.
Well,
he is a beast.
Monty Poole from Bay Area News told us earlier today that, you know, one of the things that Richard Seymour is doing this week is he's going around to everybody in his own locker room now, and he's telling them that this is a big game. This is an important game. This is a statement game for the Raiders. They know it.
Especially for him, too.
Well, of course it is. You want to go back to the team that sent you packing to show them, hey, this is what you're missing out on now. I mean, how many of you in your job, someone sends you packing from your job, you go to a competitor, and you get an opportunity to compete against your former employer? You want to kick their ass. You're not human unless you want to kick their ass. And so, you know, Richard Seymour is going to have that going for him. And so the left side of the Patriots offensive line is going to have a day. Now, you feel a lot better about your chances with Logan Mankins blocking down on Richard Seymour. Matt Light is also going to have his share of time blocking against his former teammate in Richard Seymour. So you know in the locker room today, we had to ask Matt Light about Richard Seymour. We got some of his thoughts on preparing and on number 93.
You know, I mean, I think it's the strength of their defense is, you know, the guys they got up front and, you know, the style in which they play. And, you know, they're big guys, you know, and they got a lot of team speed as well. So it'd be a heck of a test going out there and playing those guys.
Do they have a nasty edge to them than anybody else in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I just think that, you know, they're a physical group. You know, I think that shows in everything that they do up front. And, you know, they got a number of guys that rotate through there, too. So, you know, when they're in there, they're moving. You know, they get a lot of energy. You know, obviously being able to rotate those guys through there like this. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of just really getting to know what they do and who they are and how they do it.
You can rotate any more than any other team in the league?
I mean, they got, you know, 7-8 guys that roll through there quite a bit. I'd say it's a little bit different than what you see typically. You know, a lot of times you'll see maybe the guys rotating at end, and obviously in different packages, guys coming in on the inside. But, you know, these guys can all pretty much play within that system regardless of the down distance. So, you know, they're pretty fresh when they roll through there.
Matt, how much do you think Richard has helped him with that, you know, that new mentality as far as the physical line?
I mean, I think he's always played that way. You know, Richard's always been the guy that, you know, is playing to the whistle and, you know, real physical and everything that he does. And I think that he brings a lot of veteran leadership to that group. And, you know, he's a smart player. And, you know, I'm sure he is one of the guys that really, you know, keeps everybody in line and gets them lined up in the whole nine. So, you know, they're a good group.
What do you remember the most, Matt, about the way he played here and the impact he had here?
You know, Richard's just one of those guys. He's got multiple moves. He plays with a lot of strength. And, you know, he's very disruptive, especially when they're running the games with him. You know, you're going to see a lot of line stunts when you watch this team. You see those guys penetrating the gaps quite a bit. So, you know, that's what he does.
So, in other words, he's not just a straight nose tackle. They will move him along that defense.
Oh, he'll play, yeah. I mean, he'll, you know, whether it's playing on the end or, you know, three technique or wherever they put him. I mean, he'll be all over the field.
Can you talk about the value that he brings to a team, not only in terms of play, but also leadership? And as a team, you guys filling that void once he left?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, he's, like I said, he's been in this league for a long time. He's got a lot of experience. He understands, you know, things really well, concepts and things of that nature. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that, you know, I think a lot of the guys around him look up to and feed off his energy. And, you know, we got that kind of caliber here, you know, as well. It wasn't like we lost that when he left, but it's just different now.
Do you think your conditioning is even better this year, considering how up-tempo the pace of the offense? It's been times when running a pretty up-tempo offense all year.
I mean, we practice that way, you know. I think you practice the way you play, and, you know, everything that we do, you know, we try to have certain modes in which we do things. And, you know, when you run that up-tempo, you got to be in pretty good shape, so... you know, it's a big part of it, though. Conditioning is key to be able to, you know, run that style offensive.
That's Matt Light again from the Patriots locker room. You know, I always wondered what those guys really think when they know that it's time to, you know, flip on the switch for the pressure offense, as I like to call it. And you're putting the pressure on the opposing defense when you're going with the no huddle, you're going with the hurry-up tempo. Let's go, let's go, let's go. We're trying to get a playoff every, I don't know, 7 to 10 seconds and, you know, boy, you really do have to be in some kind of shape for that. Obviously, the Patriots' offense is just damn near unstoppable when they get going. But the problem is sometimes you can get going so fast, you can strike so quickly that you leave your defense on the field too much. And I think that's the problem internally that the Patriots have to sort of be dealing with right now. Well, the fact is that, you know what, we really need to help our defense out more here, so we need to chew up more time. So if you're going to – it's really a double-edged sword. If you're going to do what you do best on offense and run the pressure offense and keep a defense back on its heels and run the no huddle, call the plays in the line of scrimmage, run guys in and out because you got a system and you know, and then at the same time, you got to chew up time on the clock because you don't want your defense knowing that it's still got some issues that it needs to work through here. You don't want them to get back on the field so quickly. And you also have to understand that what is an opposing offense going to do when they know that their own defense is struggling against the Patriots' pressure offense? What are they going to do? They're going to try to keep the ball out of Brady's hands.
And you have a team this week who has the ultimate keep the ball out of your hands.
Because they got a guy that can ram between the tackles and go.
They got two of them.
Yeah, they got a couple of guys. So, you know, ball control. You hold the ball from the Patriots. You try to grind out 5, 6, 7 minute drives, which is only going to exacerbate the problem because your offense scored in 3 minutes. Great. Now your defense is out there, and your defense is going to have to be out there for 7 minutes. Then you're going to score in three more, and then your defense is going to be out there for another seven. Now you're fighting a losing battle. So you've already got a mediocre defense to begin with. The mediocre just turned to bad. And so this is part of the problem, kids. This is part of the problem that the Patriots as a team and as an organization are having to struggle with right now. How do we turn this around? How do we turn this around knowing that our defense needs time to gel and to be together, to develop playmakers, when our strength on offense is one thing and teams are going to game plan against us as a different thing? It's two strikes against your defense right there, and you're contributing one of them. So I think you got to figure out something here. I think you got to figure out, well, if we're going to try to keep the pressure on the opposing teams, then we also need to figure out a way where we can do that and run time off the clock. We need to, you know, I keep coming back to this. I think you got to go with more of a controlled passing game. I think you got to, you know, a couple of years ago when there was no running game here in New England, you went to that, you know, dink and dunk type of thing. And I think that's what you've got the best dink and dunk guy in the entire NFL in Wes Welker. Okay. In the entire NFL. Bar none. Realizing now, though, that teams are going to do whatever they can, I think, stuff guys in the box, take away the middle of the field, because that's where the Patriots are excelling. So you're going to have to go wide. You're going to have to go over the top. You're going to have to go up the sidelines. You're going to have to find the seams. That's where a guy like Aaron Hernandez really comes into play. And obviously, they missed him terribly last week. I mentioned that yesterday. I mentioned again today. Obviously, Buffalo could not take Welker away. He torched him for 16 receptions, which is a career day. He's not going to get that every week. He's not going to be open like that every week. Buffalo is willing to give that because the seams weren't open. Buffalo took care of that. Buffalo outlasted the Patriots because the Patriots shot themselves in the foot four times. One of them was a pick six. You don't throw the pick six, you probably still win the game even with three interceptions. So that's why, you know, a lot of panic setting in over losing to Buffalo. Probably shouldn't happen. You probably should maintain a little bit here. I'm asking for bold moves today. Well, okay. Yeah. But I'm not sure that you need to reinvent the wheel. Consider what this team has to go through now to improve itself. Philosophically, as well as knowing what teams are going to throw at you. See, you have to think one step ahead of the other guy. You have to anticipate what the other guy, the other team, is going to do to you. And you have to have plan A, B, and C, if not more than that, to counteract. Teams are going to try to take the middle of the field away. Teams are going to try to hold the ball away from the Patriots. All right. Now, if you let that go unchecked, well, then it's going to make you hurry up even more, right? And that's exactly what you don't want to do, because it's going to keep your defense on the field. So therein lies the conundrum that we all have. Gene in Daytona says, here's my bold move, John. Start Ridley. Run him and run him and run him and run him. Okay? Very simple. Wants to see more Stephen Ridley. Mike from Virginia, formerly of Massachusetts. John, if I could make a bold move, I would look at the Eagles. They have three great corners, no linebackers. Make a trade for either Samuel or Rodgers Cromartie, preferably Rodgers Cromartie due to age, for either a first and Fletcher or a first and Spikes. Mike, I understand exactly what you're saying here. They're not letting a first-round draft pick go. They're just not going to. Certainly not for Santi Samuel, who they had before. They let him go because they didn't think that, you know, they didn't think his upside was enough, what wouldn't warrant the contract that they were going to have to sign him to. I don't know about Cromartie either, to be honest with you. I understand what you're saying. They're not going to give up a first-round draft pick. No, not happening. You might see him give up lower rounds, but they're not giving up a first-rounder for it. Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And the Facebook page, where Mary Beth hits me up. John, though I saw a horrible, disappointing game on Sunday and the fans were horrendous even prior to the game, hurling insults and spitting on Pats fans. Wow. One very cool thing happened to me. I had just checked in, I checked out our seats, and while standing at the entrance to our section, I felt a tap on my shoulder. It was Mr. Kraft telling me I had a great shirt. It was my blinged out Flying Elvis shirt. Well, that's very cool, Mary Beth. So Mr. Kraft tapped you on the shoulder and said, great shirt. Nice. It's more than I ever got from him. Very nice. Good story. Thanks for sharing, Mary Beth. Wow, really? In Buffalo? See, I didn't think Buffalo fans were... Boy, they really were geeked up, juiced up for it, huh? You were there on the sideline, Kev.
Yeah, they were surly. Coming in and especially going out, they were letting us have it in victory. I thought they would be a little less...
Well, I can understand that, but before the game, I would think that they'd be a little bit more, you know, sort of like, you know, okay, expecting it to come, you know?
I was more, I was actually kind of surprised because I thought they'd just be like happy and content that they beat us and rah, rah, go team, less, you know, a little bit less like, yeah. I don't know, demeaning toward us, I guess. But it doesn't matter. I have a feeling those guys face that everywhere they go. The Patriots are like the Yankees of football, John.
Yeah, that's true. I can, I guess.
It's the way it is.
Mary Beth says they were drunks, very drunk. Okay. Well, you know what? Fine. More power to them. Every dog has his day. And every Bill fan has his day, and it only happens once every 8 years. So let's just just go with that, right? Let's just go with that as best as we can. Via Facebook, Donald says, my bold prediction, I cut Ocho, sign Moss. You know, somebody else has suggested that, and it was not via Facebook. It wasn't, you know, on the show. It was just a conversation I'm having with buddies. And they said, you know what, if they really wanted to shake things up, if they wanted to send a message, they'd cut somebody. They'd just cut somebody. And I said, well, okay, but you're not going to cut somebody, not replace them. They go, someone else has said that. All right, ditch Ocho Cinco and bring back Moss. Now, let's all remember where we came from last year. And when Randy had his little rant because he wasn't getting the ball and it started the process getting him out of here to begin with, didn't we all say, okay, that's enough. We need to get him out. Get rid of him before he becomes a cancer in the locker room, right? Have we forgotten this already, kids? Have we already forgotten this? Because that's what happened last year. Oh, but Randy's different now. Oh, come on. Really? Really? Wow. Wow. See, now Donald just hit me up again. He says, no, I didn't love Randy no matter what. He's a baller. He says, no, I didn't. I love Randy. He's a baller. Okay, maybe. He's a baller. But I'm not sure you know what you're asking for here. I don't disagree, Donald, and I don't disagree with anybody else who thinks that that might be the move to make. But what I will tell you is that I'm not sure that's the move you want to send this locker room at this time, a locker room that's still trying to find itself. Still trying to figure out what that Patriot way really is. Now, again, if you lose somebody with an injury in the wide receiving corps, by all means, you go get him. And you go get him because he knows the playbook. And you go get him because, you know what, he's still going to have relatively fresh legs. So chances are he's still got a little gas left in the tank. Not a lot, but a little. And if you do that, okay, that might be enough of a message to send at that time. It's like, we still love Randy, regardless of him opening his mouth last year. We still think he can play. He knows the book. Tom likes him. Enough said. But I just don't think you do that before you get to that point. Now, in three more weeks, if we haven't seen at least continued improvement from Ocho Cinco, I might sing a different tune. I might. But let's revisit this in 3 weeks, okay? By all means, call me out on it. Bring it up to my attention. And we'll talk about it then. But I still think Chad needs more time. Chris says this on Facebook. He says, unless Randy started playing defense, I'm not sure he is the answer. I tend to side with that one right now more than anything else. I tend to think that, you know, offense isn't the problem. I know some of you think that that is the case. I don't really happen to think it is the priority right now. I think the priority is finding guys that can step up and make plays on defense. I mean, I think opening week against Miami and the 2 of 14 conversion on third down was a bit of a statistical anomaly. I think this team is closer to 10 out of 12 on third down, like we saw in week 2, even though, you know, you win a game. I think this team would better focus on scoring 30 points a game. If they score 30 points a game, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say they don't lose again this year. How's that? Because I think they learned enough from this last week against Buffalo. Buffalo should not have scored 34, kids. We gave them 7, right? Buffalo gave them 7. You take that away, it's 31-27. They don't get to 30. It's that simple. If the Patriots hold the rest of their opponents under 30, they'll win, what are they, 2-1? They'll win 13 more games. Now, I don't know that that'll happen. But I'd like their chances. If you can tell me right now, okay, I guarantee you, if you could say, I guarantee you, no one else is going to score 30, I'd say Patriots are going to be 15-1. Because the offense is what is troubling. Now, granted, we don't know where injuries are going to come into play, and we don't know, you know, who's going to be out there, and who, you can't predict the future. You can't predict it. My point is, by making the statement, is that I don't think offense is the problem. Got to figure out a way, someone, to help improve this defense. Donald says, we do have a lot of young players, so you think he'll be a cancer to the locker room, even though Tom likes him? Okay, John, I'm going to hold you to it. But I like Ocho. I just want him to be consistent. But we need defense, Bed. I would love to sign Darren Sharper and then Lofa Tutupu. But I'm glad we got Warren back. All we need is number 92 to get healthy. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's – actually, I think, Donald, I think you're spot on right there. You know, I'm not sure about Sharper. They've done the due diligence on him. Again, I think Sharper could get a call again if they, you know, get any further into trouble in the backfield. Got to realize, you know, the guy doesn't have a job right now for a reason. Okay, there's a reason. Nobody else thinks he can do it. Lofa Tutupu is interesting. I'm a little curious about that one and why someone else hasn't picked that one up yet. A little curious on that one. Maybe that begs a little bit more investigation. Tim says if Mankins is unable to go, big if at this point, I think Waters would slide over. Up until his time here, he was a left guard. Well, that's one thing that the Patriots do is they are very flexible on the offensive line, and you could very easily see, you know, Brian lining up really wherever Richard Seymour is, but starting him in one spot could very well be the case. Let's see what else we have here. Joshua says, Randy would have made that wide-open catch in the end zone that Ocho dropped. Yeah, okay, fine. Why are we picking on, you know, let's not be, I just... This is all water under the bridge. He might have. He also says, Joshua, Lofa has an attitude issue and is always suspended from the league. Oh, yeah, from the drug policy. Right, okay, that's why. Thank you for reminding me. Well, you know what? All I'm going to say to that is that you signed Randy Moss. You signed Albert Haynesworth. You signed Chad Ochocinco. You signed Corey Dillon. You signed, God.
I do not care about the numbers.
We signed Brian Cox, for God's sake, you know? So, I mean, was there a worse guy to sign, character-wise, maybe than Brian Cox back, you know?
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
Back in the early part of the decade?
Cox bigger.
So all I'm saying here is that the drug policy suspension shouldn't. The Patriots think he can help you. Okay. Right now, I think he probably could. I'd certainly have to take a look at it. Here's a guy that's going to be looking for a little redemption, right? Maybe he's motivated. Maybe the Patriot way can rein him in, whatever that may be. Good stuff, Joshua. Thanks for keeping me up to date with all that. Let me hit some emails here now again. Keith says, Wow. Please, please load up. Here we go. Thank you. John, first, I would cut Ocho Cinco, activate Taylor Price, not because I don't like Ocho Cinco, but solely because I think they are the same person. And I believe we can get similar production out of Price. I'd rather see Price struggle to learn the offense than an old receiver that has lost a step. Keep in mind, Price knows the offense better than Ocho Cinco. Well, all right, look. Hold on a second here before we get all bent out of shape. Taylor Price has been in the organization, what, a year? This is his second year? How long has Chad Ocho Cinco been a pro? 11 years? All right, playbook initially? He might know a few of the nuances, might know a few of the play calls, but don't you think, and this is, I guess, the biggest problem that I have with this sort of an evaluation, don't you think that a guy like Chad Ocho Cinco would know how to get open and at least be able to use some of his veteran guile to be able to find an open area? I mean, you say you'd rather see the Patriots struggle with Price learning the offense. Well, that's what we're doing with Chad Ocho Cinco right now. All due respect to Taylor Price, I mean, can he be a good player? He might be. That's why they're keeping him around. That's why he wasn't cut. But now's not his time. I think you got to go with receivers who, you know how to, you know, play against the guys who are out there. I'm not confident that Taylor Price knows how to do that just yet. I see what you're saying. Not sure I agree with that one. Second, he says, I would bring back Randy Moss just because he gives you flexibility with the offense and will keep the opposing team's defense honest when it comes to defending the short and intermediate passing game. All right. Okay. We have discussed that. And then third, I would send a first or second round draft pick to the Eagles to bring back Asante Samuel, followed by the release of Josh Barrett, and move either Razai, Bodden, or Arrington to safety. I think Razai Dowling could play safety. I think he's got, you know, the physical traits in terms of the size. I think he'd have to put on some more weight, but I think he could. But I think that's one of the reasons why he was intriguing to the Patriots where they selected him, because he's one of those bigger corners that has an opportunity at least to battle the bigger wide receivers that you see. Now, didn't work out very well this last weekend against Buffalo, did it? Because Dowling is where? On the sideline, nursing a hammy. This is my frustration with a guy like Dowling. It's great to say that you got the tools, but if you can't stay healthy to get out there to use those tools, then really, what good are you? You're not any good. Not that I'm banging on the guy, but you got to stay healthy. You're a pro now. Stay healthy. Figure it out. I don't know. Frustration. Frustration more than anything else, I think. Forgot to mention this. Seattle player Aaron Curry is on the trading block. Trade for him? Wouldn't he be better in this system? Interesting. I'm not sure anybody from Seattle right now is worth trading for. That's the worst team in the NFL. That's the worst. Through 3 weeks, that's the worst team in the NFL. Seattle? Oh, my God. Oh, Lord of mercy. That's bad. I think
Kansas City not far behind.
No, Kansas City's not far behind, but I mean, Seattle's got nothing going on. Nothing. I think Oklahoma could beat Seattle. What do you think, Strippers? I think your Sooners could take them. I'll tell you who could take them is LSU. God, I was impressed with LSU. That is a tough, physical team. Watched that whole West Virginia game the other night.
They're not soft.
You know, no, they're not soft.
By the way, the owner was at that game.
Yes, he was down on the sidelines. They showed him
still
on the sidelines.
Still made it to Buffalo for a 1 o'clock game the next day.
Well, when you're Bob Kraft,
He's a tireless man, though.
Yeah, you can pretty much do whatever you want. That was impressive. Definitely impressive. Steven says, John, the game plan for this Sunday with the Raiders is as simple as opening up what is contained in the attachment. Okay. You'll forgive me. I'm not going to open up the attachment, because if I do and there's a virus on it, I get killed. Enough said. Let's get it done. Although his attachment is entitled Whoop Ass. I don't think I'm opening that. No
it
offense.
Might be a picture of an ass.
Yeah. No offense, Steven. Yeah, could be. Could be erotic. I don't want to go there. Steve, I know. I trust you. This is Steve from Killeen, okay, Texas. So I figured as much, but you know what? I just, huh? He's supposed to send either food or a gallon of stuff like this. You see what I got today, Pete?
Yeah, hot sauce.
Look at that.
Check it out. That's the nuclear hot sauce, man. That's it. He says, as always, great job. I hope he brought you back a gallon of the Anchor Bar sauce. Well, I can get a gallon, but I did get the suicidal stuff here, and it looks pretty nasty. So, Steve and Killeen, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Please don't be offended I didn't open up your attachment. Just not going to do it. It's offensive, right? Nick in Columbia, Missouri, says, why not bring Randy Moss out for a workout? See what shape he's in. See how he is embraced by the current Pats. Clear some room for Welker and the tight ends to work.
Straight cash, homie.
That's what it'll take. That's exactly what it'll take. Straight cash, homie. I'm sure that the Patriots have thought about it. They've probably discussed it internally. It's just not going to happen, guys. Not going to happen, especially unless somebody gets hurt.
I can't speak that language, buddy, but just tell him we said what's up, man, and we appreciate the support.
It's just not going to happen until somebody gets hurt. Unless somebody gets hurt. That's all there is to it. All right, John and Kevin. Cheers from Sweden. This is Chad in Sweden. Says, I'm going to be a bit long. That's all right, Chad. My bold move isn't very romantic. On D, do a better job of coordinating the blitz schemes. Well, the first blitz scheme I see will be the first one they've run. Every day we hear on and on about the pressure. We need pass rusher. Enough. Patriots have a very good linebacker set, as they do with the defensive ends. No, there aren't 30 Jared Allens in this league, so knock it off. I agree cutting Sanders was a mistake, just like not picking up Ray Edwards. That D-line would have been very good, would have a very good 4-3 rotation. Change the techniques, coordinate your blitzes logically, meaning Spikes doesn't try to breach through the middle, and Ninkovich doesn't blitz on the strong side of the O-line, but the weak one. All right, I think I'm following. Plus, teams' offenses just care about throwing the ball. Now, teams draft first-round running backs just because they're good on check-down passes and screens. How do you make that adjustment as a defense in such a small lapse of time? You can, but not in 2 weeks. Again, it's a matter of keeping the guys healthy. All right. I think I follow you. On offense, I haven't seen such a versatile and tremendous offense. That's not the problem. As we've talked about, that's not the problem. Wes Welker, 31 receptions, 458 receiving yards. This is in 3 weeks, 4 touchdowns. I can't imagine that by week 6 he reaches 1,000 receiving yards. But can he? No, I don't think so. But, you know, I think he could be easily in another 3 weeks. He could be at 750 or 800. It's possible. Teams are going to realize that, you know, Welker's all the Patriots have, unless there's another option there. This is one thing that they can do about the offense. Teams are idiotic if they don't find a way to clog the middle. They've got to take away the middle. They got to make the Patriots beat them over the top. Bubble screen. Over the top. Get Aaron Hernandez healthy. Then the middle is all of a sudden going to open up. Just like the parting of the Red Sea. In Ten Commandments, it's going to open up. You like that analogy? I thought it was pretty good, yeah, actually. You know? That's my old Cecil B. DeMille, you know, analogy.
Very, divine.
Yeah. Thank you. What's happening, Pete?
No, let's not forget about Deion Branch, too. I mean, I know he didn't have a big game, but I don't know why we're even discussing the Patriot offense. Because again, I know I watched the film again. I watched my film, my DVR, thank God, good as NFL Network, but watched the whole Jet Raider game today. For 2.5 hours,
right.
Went back and forth on everything,
mm-hmm.
and I am even more convinced now than I was yesterday. And I'm telling you right now, because Sanchez was either very good in that game or he sucked. There wasn't even an in-between. He had some horrible throws in that game. He had some nice throws in there, very nice throws in that game, to be honest with you. Cromartie turned the ball over on special teams at the 12-yard line on a kickoff return. And I'm just telling, I did this last year with Roy Schneider, you know, about, you know, that's a shark out there. And you better do something about this one because I don't tend to go through that hell again. And I'm telling you and everybody out there right now, the Patriots will put up their biggest offensive show of the year, if you can believe that, on Sunday, and they will give up the least amount of points they've given up all year.
So you're taking the Pats in a blowout.
I am taking the Pats in a blowout. And I mean, it's going to be, by a blowout, I mean about at least 17 points.
Ooh.
There's no way in God's green earth, unless there's 4 picks again and 2 get deflected or, you know, something crazy. But we all know Brady's record is after
losses. If they play relatively mistake-free.
If they play relatively mistake-free, the Raiders cannot keep up with the Patriots. They cannot. The only reason why they won that game against the Jets is because the Jets played mediocre with their quarterback on a lot of those plays, and they turned the ball over on special teams. I watched the whole game's first opening night against Denver. If you thought the Raiders looked good in that game, you're out of your mind, okay? And Buffalo, I mean, I'm just not a believer in Buffalo. I'm sorry. Just not a believer
I'm
yet.
Not either.
Not by the longest
I have to
of
agree
shots.
With you there. I have to agree
and
with
I'm
you
I'm telling
there.
You, after watching that game back and forth today for 2.5 hours and focusing on different things, there is no way in hell that Oakland can keep up with the Patriots. No way. And you give McFadden, get your 120 yards. Go ahead. Get it. They're going to have to, Campbell's going to have to throw the ball. And I know everybody thinks that the Patriots are just going to automatically give up 400 yards to any quarterback, but it ain't going to happen Sunday, folks. It ain't going to happen. And I'll break down the reasons why.
Pete,
if
Jason Campbell throws for, you know, 350 or three bills plus, this Patriot team has got a lot of problems.
Well, no, he could absolutely throw for three bills plus. They could also lose 41-20 and he throws for 350 yards. That's not going to bother me.
I don't think that's their mindset. I think what they want to do is they want to run Darren McFadden.
Sure, they'll try to. I know they'll try to. And I know people are saying they got caught into this trap. And this is what happens with everybody on a lot of teams. They'll say, well, if the Jets and their vaunted great defense couldn't stop McFadden, how are the Patriots going to do it? That's exactly the trap too many fans and too many media people get caught up in. Every game is different. The way the flow of the game goes, ebbs and flows, every game is different. You cannot assume any more than you could assume why Kansas City played apparently so well against San Diego. Now, do you think people in San Diego are going crazy this week because the sucky Chiefs played the Chargers to a 3-point game in San Diego? I wouldn't go crazy if I'm a San Diego fan. It's the way that game went. There is some pride left in the NFL with some teams. They got blown out twice. Kansas City looked like crap 2 weeks in a row, and then they looked pretty good against San Diego, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you just have to look at all these games and everything else. But I'm telling you, this matchup is a horrible matchup for the Raiders. Horrible. It's not going to be the Jets. Believe me. It's not going to be the Jets. You're facing a much more an offense that is 100 times better than the Jets are.
Okay. Fair enough. Pete's making a declarative statement.
I am.
What's on the show today?
Let's see. What's on the show? Well, we got, of course, all the phone calls and everything else. We got my man Jeff Howe from Nesson.com, Pat's beat writer. He'll be joining us in the first hour.
Good.
And I still want to get it. I'm sure he was there. This cheering that went on in the press box in Buffalo.
I heard about that.
I just can't believe.
I'd be disgusted at that.
That's where Goodell needs to step in and do something. I mean, I heard it was just blatantly horrible.
Yeah.
Who's the PR director in Buffalo, and how was that allowed? I'd love to find that.
Because you whip somebody 15 times in a row, that gives you the right to cheer?
Guys.
What happened to supposed impartiality?
Screaming at that. Take that, New England. Man, I'll tell you what. Good thing I wasn't there. I would have thrown a hot dog at him or so. I would have got up and let him have it. I want to say, are you kidding me? How professional is that? I mean, that you scream that in a press box.
That's
but
nuts.
Apparently there are people there with Bill shirts on in the press box. And. Well. Just disgusting, but I'm going to get Jeff's point of view on it.
All right, sounds good. All right, it's coming up. Pete Shepherd Show in just a couple of moments. Here's some final words. Donald says, we need defense bad. I would love to sign Sharper. Oh, we already had that one. Okay, good. That one just popped up again. Derek tells me this. He says, Rook, if I hear one more bring Moss back, I might lose it. He quit on us last year. What kind of message will that send to the locker room? Also, I have never been a big fan of the committee running back approach. Ridley should have seen more action on Sunday, and when the coaching staff switches these running backs, they cannot get in a rhythm. That's actually a good point. People should not overreact to one game, but this defense needs to step up, plain and simple. Right when the defense started playing bump and run earlier in the season, they forgot the bump part on Sunday. That's a good point, too. They also need to use more blitzes and elbow me when Belichick calls one. I said that earlier. Derek, it's exactly what I said earlier. Hey, call a blitz. It'll be the first one I've seen this year. This team needs to be more physical and be tougher. That's how you win on the road. That's how you win in the playoffs and how you win like a champion. Good email, Derek. It's our buddy Derek from the University of Arizona. Here's a bold move, Andrew says, from Sandy, Utah. He says, convince the Raiders to trade back Seymour for Haynesworth. Oh, it'd sort of be in character, wouldn't it? Okay, so I know that's...
Richard Seymour fan hotline.
Remember that? Remember that, by the way? Yeah, I forgot all about that.
That was funny.
Well, that's a
good
one.
Hey, young lady, what's your name?
I like that.
Remember, people get he didn't like to be called Richard.
No.
He liked to be called Seymour.
Seymour, just big C.
My grandmother calls me Richard.
Hey, young lady.
All right, he says he knows that's not plausible, but I wish we had Seymour on the D-line again. Also, a side note, not that our offense is struggling, struggling. But I would just love to see Falk get healthy and then back on the field. I miss his leadership and reliability. Too bad he didn't play safety. Well, I don't disagree with that one. I do think this team will probably have to make a decision on Kevin Falk again here in another week or two. Easily. They're going to have to make a decision on that one. I personally don't think he's coming back. That's just my own thought. I think they'll probably make a decision, I'm going to guess, to retire. But I don't know. Could be wrong. He is taking part. He is doing some things out on the field, but I just don't know if it's going to be enough for him to actually get out and make a difference on the field again. Let's see. What else we have here? Christian in Denmark. John Rook, I would do the following. Invent a time machine. Travel back to 2003. Over time, the D will be just fine. Remember, in Bill we trust. That would be a bold move. Time machine. Can we do that? Nick in Columbia. How about a big-name pass rusher on a bad team? Jared Allen, Dwight Freeney. We got Ocho as bait. Bring back Randy for depth, opening the short stuff up. More Edelman as Welker's understudy. Save Welker's body for later. Maybe Tumba Hali from Kansas City. Establish a runner and a pass catcher out of the backfield. That I would also agree with. Like to see more, you know, stuff coming out of the backfield, bubble screens, things like that. Give these guys a chance who have some speed to get out on the edge. Because if the Patriots are going to be defended against clogging the middle, knowing that that's where they like to go is over the middle, where does that... What does logic tell you things should be open? If someone's in the middle, if they're throwing their eight in their box, where are the openings going to be besides on the other side of the eight in the box deep? On the edge, around end. Let's spread it out. You really want to use the pressure offense to some success? Damn.
If you say the edge, the edge, the edge, like four times fast, you sound like Lady Gaga in that song.
That's right. The edge. The edge of glory. No, I'm not going to. That's it. That's about as far as I'm going right there. All right. Pete Shepherd Show is coming up next. Kids, tomorrow. I won't be here. Eric Scalavino will be here. I've got college football duties. I'll be at Heinz Field for South Florida and Pittsburgh on national radio.
I know you can't pick that game, but I'm picking South Florida.
I think South Florida will win.
Pittsburgh is a
I'm not supposed
team.
To pick, but I think USF is. I think they're for real finally
you
this year.
Game for the damn end zone. That sucks.
Yeah, that's what you got to do when you're at Heinz Field. You got to do that. Yeah. But if you care to check it out, it's streamed live for free, by the way, on BigEast.tv.
Nice.
So it's tomorrow night. Kickoff, I think, is 8 o'clock. So there you go. And then I'll be back in the Pats playbook with you next week as we talk about Oakland and get ready for the JETS. Pete Shepherd's coming up next.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.